Fantastic. Well, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you right now. We commit this year to you. We pray that you'd have your way in us. Lord, may you use us. May you work powerfully through us. I pray that you'd help us to hear the leading of the Holy Spirit. Help us here this morning. Help me as I speak this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we are, 2021. Praise the Lord. I think it's fair to say that 2020 was full of surprises. I mean, I think I probably even preached the message which was like, oh, we're going to have 2020 vision this year. It's going to be amazing. And a whole lot of stuff happens. Strange year for us. The whole pandemic thing. But it was a really good year for us as well because we had a baby. So in the middle of all that. And I think becoming a dad has just been amazing. Beatrix is growing up really fast. She's 5 months, almost 6 months, and she's doing roly-polies on the ground, which is amazing. She's learning to crawl, starting to babble. So that's my highlight from 2020, amongst all the other stuff. So today we're going to be reading from, if you got the email, it did say Isaiah 43, but go with me. We're going to be reading from Philippians 3, verses 7 to 14. It's going to be up on the screen. But it says this, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participate in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that of which Christ Jesus took a hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Amen. What a great scripture. So we're going to explore this here this morning. And one of the things I do want to just ask this year, I mean, I got lots of questions. But the first thing we're going to explore is, you know, are we on the right track? Are you on the right track for 2021? Has anyone ever competed in cross country? Yep, great. It's pretty fun. I used to compete in high school. I used to be like a pretty good long distance runner. And because I grew up in Western Australia, in Mundaring, it was like a very hilly area. And often when we do the cross country races, it would take us off the path and into like this bushland with steep hills, gravel roads. It's a lot of fun. But many times when I got to the narrow path or a fork in the road, it was often hard to figure out exactly where to go. I mean, I don't know what it's like today in school. They probably have like it all set out. But when I was in school, it was a little difficult to figure out where to go when you're going off the path. And in those situations, the only way to figure out if I was on the right path was to look for signs. I had to look for the arrows that were pointing me in the right direction. And even then, if I felt really, really, really lost, there was always like a few volunteers and teachers kind of scattered around the course to make sure that nobody got completely lost and they could kind of point us in the right direction. But how do we as Christians know if we're on the right track? You know, before we even begin begin our race, the path has actually already been set out for us by God. It's a fixed kind of path. And the only path to have a relationship with and be reconciled with God is through Jesus. And if we go through the Bible, we see many, many signposts that direct us to this path. And I think one of the clearest things for me, scriptures, is John 14:6, where Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through me." And we can know if we're on the right path if we believe this. If our trust is in the righteousness that we receive from Jesus, or is it maybe in our own righteousness? Sometimes we think our trust is in the righteousness of Jesus. But more often than not, when we start heading down our own path, it's easier to just head down our own path. And, you know, if we go back to the cross-country example. Imagine that you're running in the race, even if you hate cross-country. But imagine you're running in the race, right? Now, you know the course has been decided before you even get there. There's been officials that have set up the course and everything like that. But the thing is, all of the participants have to run that course, or otherwise they risk being disqualified from the race. But you know, whatever, I know better than the officials. Like, I've lived in this area my whole life, Mundaring, I know it. Why would I want to go up a hill when I can just cut through, take a little shortcut, and save some time? And in a similar way, our relationship with God can be a bit like that. You know, I'll serve God when I've got everything together. I want a job. I want a girlfriend or a boyfriend. That's why I come to church. I've met people like that. I'd rather just avoid that person and not have that awkward, difficult conversation. I know, man, I hate having those awkward, difficult conversations. I'd rather just run away and hide. Or when I make more money, then I will start tithing or giving to the Lord or serving. Or maybe when I have more time, maybe then I'll start praying. And I think sometimes we can think God really doesn't want every part of our lives, so we can hide a little bit from him. We just give him like one little part of our life and just like stay away from the rest. But sometimes we can think that we know better than God and maybe take a little shortcut, wander off the path a little bit because it's kind of hard. And instead of believing and having faith that our righteousness comes from Jesus, we can try to find it in our good deeds, possibly comparing ourselves to others. You know, I'm not that bad of a person compared to such and such. Pretty sure there's worse Christians than me. Or at least I go to church every week. But, you know, coming to church is great. Reading the Bible is great. Saying prayers is great. Singing songs is great when you can sing, but we can't sing right now. But that doesn't make us Christian. Oh, music. that was great. Perfect timing. But Matthew, okay, Jesus says this in Matthew 7:21-23. He warns that not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom. Many who will say, "Didn't we prophesy and cast out demons in your name and perform many miracles?" You know that all of that stuff is not actually proof that we've been born again. And I think going back to the scripture that we read in Philippians, if anybody knew this, it would have been Paul the Apostle. He followed the Old Testament to a T. Like he was right up there as like one of the religious dudes or whatever you want to call him. Yet he found himself on his hands and knees on the road to Damascus, and he came to the realization of how much he needed to be saved. And it doesn't matter how amazing or glorious we might think we are in our own eyes, let alone other people's eyes. Do we remember the convo that Jesus had with Nicodemus? What does he say? He says, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. Has anyone ever seen The Chosen? I highly recommend it. There's an episode where Jesus meets Nicodemus and it is so powerful. But God calls us to have faith and to believe in the atoning sacrifice of Jesus, to believe in his life, death, and resurrection. It's John 3:16. I shared it on Christmas. We all know this verse. For God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that for whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So if we have faith, it means we can be born again and that we're adopted into God's family. And when we do that, the kingdom of God becomes alive inside of us. And we have this incredible freedom from the power of sin. Just got to read Romans chapter 6. Powerful chapter. But the thing is, our lives start to change when we have that encounter with God, with Jesus. And we begin this incredible journey of transformation, right? And we then start to strive to become greater examples of Jesus. And hopefully, we're becoming more and more Christ-like. So I'm just going through like the basics here, right? But yeah, going back to Paul's life, he got really shaken up. Think about it. He had to give everything up to follow Christ. He was a Jewish religious leader, like living the high life. He had a lot of probably great stuff. But man, it would have got uncomfortable for Paul. He would have had a successful life that he would have had to give up to follow Christ. And he's saying it didn't matter to him because he knew he had this freedom of knowing that his righteousness was not based on confidence in the flesh to obey the law. And he was a real law keeper. Like he would have memorized the whole Torah, which is like the whole Old Testament, and he would have been able to recite that. But he had a freedom because his righteousness was based. It's based on his faith in a risen Savior. That's good news. Jesus is our righteousness, and it's not based on our performance. It's not based on our status or our success, but we have righteousness through faith in Jesus. And we need to keep our eyes fixed on him because he's the one, he bought us with a price. It wasn't cheap. He went to the cross and he gives us eternal security. So I'm really preaching here this morning. It's good. So the next thing is, how do we know that we're on the right path? There's only one right path and you can't really miss it. Put your faith and trust in Jesus' righteousness and not in yourself, and you're starting on that path. So now we're on the path. The next question is, how do we measure how we're tracking on it? Like, do we believe in Jesus' righteousness but still have issues with pride? Do we know God's love but still have anxiety? I think a good way we can measure how we're tracking is by asking ourselves, are the fruits of the Spirit evident in our lives? I'm sure you probably all know it from children's church. I'm sure there's like a billion songs about the fruits of the Spirit. But it says in Galatians 5:22, this is where you find it. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance. Another word for forbearance is patience. I got to work a lot on my patience, especially when I'm driving. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So are those fruits developing in our lives? And if you see them developing in your life, then that's great. That means you're becoming more Christ-like. And you all know I'm a musician. You can't escape that. I play guitar. I think I play it all right. But the thing is, I can often tell a good guitar player before they even strum the guitar. I can just tell by their posture, the way they hold themselves, their fingers, their technique. I mean, they're very dedicated and passionate at what they do. You can see the hours that they've spent practicing and learning their craft. And in the same way, we need to be passionate about becoming more Christ-like. And it's really easy to, like, you can see the fruits of the Spirit in people's lives. And I'm not, like, trying to judge people. No, it's about seeing the fruit of the Spirit manifesting in people's lives. You can tell when people are full of peace. You can tell when they're full of love. But the opposite is also true, right? I don't know if you've ever walked into a room of someone and they've been like, you can just sense their anxiety, or it's just, you can sense their anger. But what I'm trying to say is we need to be passionate about developing the fruits of the Spirit in our lives, because that actually helps us become more Christ-like. Amen? And we're not meant to be the same at the end of the race as we were at the start. I mean, imagine if I practice hours and hours of guitar and I could still only play 3 chords. That would be pretty embarrassing. Like, I'd probably want to just put it down. But the thing is, there is growth and progression. You progress. And the only way I progressed in my skill of guitar playing was through practicing. And in the same thing, we got to practice our Christianity. Practice the fruits of the Spirit. See, as Christians, we're called to go from glory to glory and be transformed and become more and more like Christ every day. So this year, challenge all of us to think about how we can develop the fruits of the Spirit in our life and ask, and you know what, don't just do it by yourself, like ask other people as well to give an honest opinion. You know, do you see the fruit of the Spirit developing in my life? Hopefully they give you an honest answer and they love you. But so how do we know we're on the right track? So we have faith in Jesus, who is our righteousness, and we are passionate about becoming Christ-like, which is evident in the fruits of the Spirit. So this is my last little point here. He says it in verse 13 and 14. Don't look back, but keep moving forward. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but I've never tried to run a race backwards. I mean, imagine like just going, it's a matter of time before you just like face plant and like it's it's kind of a funny imagery, like running a race while looking backwards. But we're called to actually keep our eyes ahead and to keep our eyes fixed on Christ. Because God doesn't want us to be imprisoned by our past. He wants us to actually keep moving forward. I know we've all got a past and we carry those scars with us. But you know what's really cool? Like in the Old Testament, whenever God did something amazing, they would actually build altars to God. And that would actually be a moment where they would remember the goodness of God and they'd worship and praise him on those altars. So I encourage you to make altars in your life. Whenever God does something good, remember that. Don't forget that. So God doesn't want us to be imprisoned by our past. He wants us to keep moving forward. And you know, it doesn't matter how we started this race either. I mean, maybe you grew up in church. That's awesome. Maybe you had a crazy encounter with God like me. That's awesome. It doesn't matter. But you know what is really important? How we finish the race. That's more important than how we start it. It's about how we finish it. And don't fall into the trap of comparing yourself to others. I mean, because you can be running along and just being like, oh, And you can start comparing yourself and like, oh, how come they're doing so well? They're further ahead of the track. It doesn't matter. You know, someone might be way behind you on the track or way off to the side. Maybe they got lost and they've fallen off the track. But see, everyone has their own journey of transformation through faith in Jesus. And I encourage you to just keep going on the track and, you know, encourage each other to keep going. Anyone seen Finding Nemo? It's like one of my favorite films. I actually can't wait to watch it with Beatrix. That's probably going to be one of the first movies I watch with her. But there's a really powerful scene. Remember Dory and Merlin? And they are, well, I think they meet the sharks. Fishes are friends, not food. That's great. No, but they come up to this submarine, right? And I think she launches like a torpedo and it comes out and it explodes on like a mine or something. And then they get thrown over into this total darkness and they have to keep going down. And what does she say? She says, just keep swimming, just keep swimming, just keep swimming. And Merlin's just like, let me out of here, just keep swimming. And they just keep going. Now, sometimes as Christians, you just have to keep swimming. Just keep going. It's a new year, 2021. I think we're in a massive time of change. We've got a new minister coming, which is very, very exciting. A lot of things are changing. The whole way we do worship has changed. It's crazy. But God is doing a new thing. And he is calling us to move forward and to keep our eyes fixed on him. He's calling us to run this race, and he wants us to finish it strong. And we're called to run this race until we meet Jesus face to face in eternity. Your race is your whole life. So that's kind of my message there. And like what I want to do now is I want to spend a bit of time where we come before the Lord. I mean, the worship team is going to come, if you guys could come. They're going to sing Cornerstone. And, you know, as you know, we can't sing, which is annoying. But as they come and sing this song, I just want to encourage us. I don't know what 2020 looked like for you. Maybe it was, I mean, I had a pretty cool 2020 because I became a dad. But maybe your 2020 was different. I don't know what it represents for you. But what I want to do is just spend some time just meditating, thinking about, and just coming before the Lord as they play this song and just laying at his feet all those things in 2020, whether it was, you know, all the hopes and disappointments, the dreams, because God doesn't want us to live in the past.